Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
It's helpful periodically to go back to basics, to revisit our roots as a movement. And so I'll be sharing some thoughts today on the life of our Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore. But I'm going to be focusing more on his spiritual journey rather than the events of his life. But first, I want to give you your homework. Three takeaways consistent with Myrtle and Charles's teachings right up front. Number one, this is a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, Jesus answered them and said, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst." Or another translation, "The kingdom of God is within you." Or another translation, "The kingdom of God is now." Number two, a very simple line from A Course in Miracles: "Heaven is my choice. Heaven is my choice." Metaphysically, the kingdom of God is omnipresence within us. And the kingdom of heaven is the fourth dimension, our Christ consciousness, or the outpicturing of the kingdom of God in our lives and in our world. And so why choose heaven? Because God is greater always and in all ways. Regardless of appearances, God is greater always. Let's breathe into this awareness. The kingdom of God is in our midst. The kingdom of God is within. Let's make it more personal. The kingdom of God is within me, within you. And even more relevant, the kingdom of God is within me, within you, now. And heaven is my choice for me, for you, and for our world. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about Unity co-founder Myrtle Fillmore, and today I'm going to share some thoughts about her husband and Unity co-founder Charles Sherlock Fillmore, whose birthday just happened to be yesterday, August 22nd. He was born in 1854. But this is not just a history lesson, as the history of the Unity movement is a class all to itself. I do want to provide some historical context, but then I'm going to move us from history to mystery, and spend more time looking at the mystery, the spiritual journey of Charles Fillmore, who was often called an American mystic, or the mystic of Missouri. And so a little bit of history, or his story, and just be aware, I'm skipping a whole lot here. As Ms. Wolf's class this morning mentioned, Charles was born to pioneer parents on a Chippewa Indian reservation in northern Minnesota, near present-day St. Cloud. His father worked as a trader with the Indians, and his mother worked as a dressmaker. His parents separated when he was seven. The family was small by pioneer standards. His only sibling, a younger brother, ran away from home at the age of 10. And for Charles, a broken hip from an ice skating accident became a life-shaping event for him. Because of his father leaving and his skating accident and the pioneer environment in which he grew up, his formal education was cut short. But he grew up very curious about many things and a lifelong learner, and he was mentored along the way. While his mother was Episcopalian, he did not grow up in a religious household and was not forced to conform to religious tradition or practice. From his birth in a log cabin to adventures across the American frontiers through worlds of gold miners, railroad men, mule team drivers, and real estate investors, Fillmore's early life reflected a persistent self-reliance and struggle against the odds. And then there was Mary Carolyn Page, or Myrtle, who he met in 1876 in Texas while he was there working for the railroad. She had moved to Texas to be a school teacher after graduating from Oberlin College in Ohio. They were married in 1881, moved to Colorado, and started a family. They moved to Kansas City, Missouri in 1884, following a dream that Charles had that foretold their work in Kansas City. Myrtle had her own set of health challenges with a lifelong tubercular condition. In 1886, she and Charles attended a New Thought lecture by Dr. E.B. Weeks, and Myrtle, who was very ill at the time, began to work with the ideas presented at the workshop, in particular an affirmation, "I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit illness." In 1888, after 2 years of consciousness healing work, Myrtle was completely healed of tuberculosis. As people learned about her healing, others began to come to her for healing prayer, and many healings took place regularly in those early days and years. And this was the beginning of a small study and prayer group in the Fillmore's home, which eventually became the Society of Silent Help in 1890, which is today Silent Unity. So that's the history lesson for today. Let's shift from history to mystery and talk about this idea of walking in the mystery. What is mystery anyway? And specifically mystery with a capital M. So just to be clear, when I speak about mystery with a capital M, I'm not talking about things as sock heaven. And yes, I did say sock heaven. Even if the whereabouts of a lost sock is one of the great enigmas of the universe, that's a different talk for a different day. That being said, while the down-to-earth is generally not what most people think of as mystery, all of life, all of creation, is filled with God energy. Dennis Covington, author, wrote that mystery is not the absence of meaning, but the presence of more meaning than we can comprehend. And so for purposes of this lesson, when I speak of mystery, I'm referring to Source, Spirit, God beyond all names, out of which all of life is created and sustained. And so for me, walking in the mystery means walking in God, walking in through and as God. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore had a pioneering spirit. They traveled the unsettled and developing American frontier in the 19th century. But even more importantly, they were spiritual pioneers, spiritual explorers, who reserved the right to change their minds as their consciousness expanded. This is the path of the mystic, mysticism being the practice of the presence of God, all good, everywhere present. In his book entitled Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, Unity Minister Reverend Charles Rosemurgy writes about mystical consciousness. Because these seekers of the infinite are so completely committed to God, there is a tendency to think that they have forsaken the world. The truth is they did not really turn from the world because even mystics have bills to pay. They turned toward God. There are many reasons to admire and emulate the mystics of the world. Perhaps the most compelling reason is that they found balance. By seeking the kingdom, they learned to put earthly matters in perspective. By putting God first, they assigned the world its proper place. So let's go back to history for just a moment. Myrtle is healed of tuberculosis. People flocked to the Fillmore's home in Kansas City seeking healing prayer, and people were healed. People are writing to the Fillmores asking for prayers for distance healing, and people are healed. Okay, the next slide, please. And here we have this photograph of Charles sitting in his office on Tracy Avenue in Kansas City, meditating. Charles was not one to take things on blind faith. He had an inquiring scientific mind. When he saw the healings that were coming as a result of Myrtle's prayer, he began to question why and how. If people were being healed, there was a reason for the healings. He read all of the books that he could find on the subject, and where there were courses available, he took them. But he was disturbed by the many conflicting statements about truth made by the various teachers. He didn't understand why there should be so many divisions in schools and such an assortment of opinions about an exact science. He wrote that the muddle was so deep that for a time I was inclined to ridicule. Yet I couldn't get away from the evidence of a great power back of the flood of contradictory statements. There might be a doubt as to which of the teachers was right, but as to the results, there could be no doubt whatever. About this doubt, he wrote, "I noticed, however, that all the teachers and writers talked a great deal about the omnipresent omniscient God, who is spirit and accessible to all. And I said to myself, in this Babel, I will go to headquarters, meaning go to God directly. If I am spirit, and this God they talk about so much is spirit, we can somehow communicate, or the whole thing is a fraud. I then commenced sitting in the silence, and this photograph is of him meditating in his office in Kansas City. I commenced sitting in the silence every night at a certain hour and tried to get in touch with God. There was no enthusiasm about it, no soul desire, but a cold, calculating business method. I was there on time every night and tried in all conceivable ways to realize that my mind was in touch with the Supreme Mind. Sitting in the silence became a part of the daily regimen for Charles for the rest of his life. And he eventually came to the realization that all manifestation of life originates in the silence. He made the connection with the eternal in the silence, and he opened himself to his own healing process that was taking place within him. He gave up his business and devoted all of his time to the study and mastery of truth principles. He moved from a healthy skepticism to a determined experimentalism to a wholehearted, dedicated, practical mysticism. In her book, How to Pray to God Without Talking, Reverend Linda Martella Witsit writes, "Resting in the silence is our highest intention in prayer, because out of the silence comes our deepest realization." This was the way Charles came to truth. Being practical, he sought for something that was an exact science. Being a student, he studied under many teachers. In the end, he turned, as do all truth seekers, to the one true source by going within. By silencing the babble, the message of Charles was simple and clear. There is a spiritual energy in the world, one presence, one power, pure being. We can access the spiritual energy to guide and sustain us. In fact, it expresses at the point of us. And so we can choose to live from an awareness of this spiritual energy active in our lives and in the universe. And when we do, life is more satisfactory, both individually and collectively. There are attitudes, practices, and skills that can facilitate this process. And the bottom line in Charles's words after going to headquarters, "Everything which is necessary for me to know is shown to me. Everything which is necessary for me to know is shown to me." And the same is true for us today. In his book, The Spiritual Journey of Charles Fillmore, Discovering the Power Within, author Neil Vall writes that Charles wasn't trying to make Unity students, but presented the doctrine as suggestions for experimentation. All the Fillmore said in effect was, here are some ideas that we believe to be true. Examine them, study them, accept those that you can use for your life. For the rest, do not let what you cannot accept keep you from accepting what will be a help to you now. The time may come when you can accept those other ideas too. What they were seeking above all things was to have people go deep within and to find their own authority, their own way. Charles often commented that the aim of his teaching was self-development. The prime object, he said, is to instruct students on how to overcome themselves. The prime object is to teach students how to overcome themselves. His favorite affirmations were I am statements of truth. He had what he called seven supreme affirmations. And I'm going to invite you to listen to them and to receive them now if they resonate with you. They're very simple, but they're very profound. And they are, I am life omnipresent. I am love omnipresent. I am power omnipresent. I am substance omnipresent. I am order and harmony omnipresent. I am strength omnipresent. I am intelligence omnipresent. What I am statements do you speak over your own life? Some more homework for you. Next slide, Sam. Charles and Myrtle were lifelong learners and true spiritual pathfinders, but their message then and for us today is that the journey they traveled and the gates they opened are for everyone. They did not receive the power of revelation. They received the degree of revelation that they were open to receive, and we are no different. And the revelation was very simple and healing and transformative: God within. At the age of 94, Charles Fillmore wrote this affirmation: "I fairly sizzle with zeal and enthusiasm and spring forth with a mighty faith to do the things that ought to be done by me." The word enthusiasm has a Greek root, entheos, which means God within. Metaphysically, Charles spoke of enthusiasm as ardent zeal or divine inspiration. Enthusiasm means there is a deep enjoyment in what you do, plus the added element of a goal or vision that you work toward. Fillmore described zeal as the mighty force that incites the winds, the tides, the storms. It urges the planet on its course and spurs the ant to greater exertion. It is the urge behind all things, the affirmative pulse of existence. Its command is, go forward. Go forward in God. To Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and this was their lived experience, those who attain Christ consciousness and go forward in God live healthy, happy, and fulfilled lives and make a difference in the world. This is the path of the mystic, living in and from the awareness of one presence and one power active in my life and in the universe, God the good, and also then paying the bills. Being the vibration of God in action in our day-to-day lives. It's walking in the mystery. And yet, Course in Miracles teacher and author John Mundy writes that mystical experience is so simple that it is easily missed, misinterpreted, or misunderstood in today's hectic world. It lies hidden in the most ordinary experiences and in every part of the whole. It also lies quietly in the heart, and naturally finds creative expression in the most ordinary things: relationships, pets, plants, art, music, work, play, indeed all of life. Mundy invites us, as did Charles and Myrtle, to be spontaneous, to be humorous, to have fun, to laugh frequently, to be patient and kind, and value your relationships with self, one another, and with our planet. And also to recognize the value of silence and the solitude. In 1892, Charles and Myrtle wrote and signed a dedication and covenant to God. They never told anyone about this letter to God. It was discovered among Myrtle's papers in 1942, 11 years after her death. It's very simple and to the point, and it reads this way: "We, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our energy, all we have and all we expect to have to the Spirit of Truth, and through it to the Society of Silent Unity. It being understood and agreed that the said Spirit of Truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every need and want, without our making any of these things the object of our existence." And they signed it, "In the presence of the conscious mind of Christ Jesus, this seventh day of December, AD 1892, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore." If that isn't walking in the mystery, I'm not sure what is. And look what grew out of that dedication and covenant. Here we are today. And where could we go individually and communally with a similar dedication and covenant to the Spirit of Truth? Let's take this into prayer for a moment. What is your dedication and covenant to the Spirit of Truth? Is heaven your choice? I leave these questions with you as I close with Charles Fillmore's favorite invocation, inviting you to make these words your own. I am now in the presence of pure being and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. I acknowledge thy presence and thy power, O blessed Spirit. In thy divine wisdom, now erase my mortal limitations. And from thy pure substance of love, bring into manifestation my world according to thy perfect law. Let's breathe into this awareness. We are in the presence of pure being. The kingdom of heaven is in our midst. The kingdom of heaven is within. Let's make it more personal. The kingdom of heaven is within me and within you. The kingdom of heaven is within me and within you now. And heaven is my choice for myself, for each one of you, and for our world. And so in celebration of Papa Charlie's 166th birthday this weekend, and with zeal and enthusiasm, my friends, go forward in God. Go forward in God. Amen. Peace be with you. Namaste.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.